Hi guys, welcome back to This Is Life Unfiltered. First of all, I'm so excited to be back because I took last week off, and the episode before that, which was episode 36, I believe, I was talking about burnout. So obviously, I took a solid week off because I was getting really burnt out and about to kind of go into a pretty deep depression just from so much anxiety and stress. So I took a week off, got back to LA, and then ended up getting sick, which teaches me and continues to teach me that you really can't run your body down. But I got such a great response from that episode, and I loved reading all of your kind of wise pieces of advice as well as your personal experiences with burnout. So I can't thank you enough for being so open and honest with me. Before I get into this episode, make sure to follow This Is Life Unfiltered on social media at This Is Life Podcast and @Alexa_Curtis. Next week, I have some exciting news. So that's what's going to be next week's episode. So make sure to set an alarm or download the official This Is Life Unfiltered app for next Wednesday at 5 a.m. That news I've been talking about for months now is finally going to be released. So this week, I'm pretty excited because I have an awesome guest, and I knew immediately when I came across her phenomenal chocolate company that I was going to fall in love with her. So I have Candace Puthwala, I believe I pronounced her name right, here for episode 37, and she is a go-getter, type A entrepreneur. She's the founder of an incredible lifestyle website that talks about body image, that talks about really loving yourself on the inside and the outside, and she's also the founder of this incredible chocolate company called Beauty Bar Chocolate. And I actually came across this company a few months ago and decided to reach out to her, actually looking for samples to take pictures of because the box was seriously so chic. And then I dove a little deeper into her background and realized that she would be such a kick-ass guest. So Candace, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. This is going to be so fun.
Well, let's start from the beginning. So you have had quite an interesting run. You were in the fashion industry. Now you have a food company. You have a lifestyle website. You've kind of run for 2 years. What was the moment where you were like, I need to get out of fashion and I need to do something for myself?
Oh, wow. So yes, I was in the fashion industry for close to 2 decades. And for the last several years before I left, I was dealing with being just tired all the time. I wasn't being inspired anymore. I was dealing with inflammation in my fingers. I just wanted to change my life. And during one fashion week, I woke up to 80% of my vision missing, and it was quite scary. In the fashion industry, you have to look perfect at all times. It's all about beauty from the outside, and I couldn't let anyone know that I could barely see. So I was psycho and hired my assistant to drive me to LA Market Week, showed my appointments with my eyes just bulging out. And I went to the doctor's appointment. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I went and got a second opinion. It was lupus. Third opinion, it was rheumatoid arthritis. Another 2 years went by of my life, and something kept telling me, stress. This is stress. You need to change your life. Well, I went to my RA doctor because I decided, well, maybe that's what I had. The medication wasn't working that she gave me. So she said, I'm going to put you on medication that cancer patients take. You may lose your hair. And telling that to a girl, especially in the fashion industry, I mean, I don't want to lose my hair. And I also thought, like, this doesn't sound right. I told her I don't want to take any medication and I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I decided that day, I've got to leave this industry. And I remember sitting on the ground in my house, never felt so crazy or so alive before, quitting that day, firing my employees, firing all of my brands, and walking away from an almost 2-decade career. And so I knew that day that there was no looking back and that I for sure knew I was going to find a new way to live.
That's incredible. But what were you actually doing in fashion? It was like a buyer or what? You were doing something.
Oh, yes. So I was working with buyers. I was working in wholesale. I had a wholesale showroom, women's contemporary clothing, and they were really great brands. Brands that you see in, Nordstrom's, Revolve Clothing, Planet Blue. And I worked with some amazing designers. So I had about at one point 12 brands, and I had a showroom in downtown LA, would travel the world. And as it sounds glamorous, it was a lot of work.
It's interesting you say that, because I talk so often about social media and how what you see online is not what it's like in real life. But you had this lifestyle, this glamorous lifestyle that everybody would want. You were in fashion, you were traveling, you were probably wearing the most glamorous and beautiful clothing. But I guess it seems like deep down you weren't actually happy, right?
No, not at all. Like I was saying earlier, the fashion world was all about beauty from the outside. And it wasn't until I started focusing on my beauty from the inside did I start to heal, because on the inside I was falling apart. I might've looked amazing on the outside, but inside I felt like a hot mess.
So you were born and raised as well in California. What was that like? And what has this experience, that experience with you dealing with all of this, which we'll get into a little later in the episode, dealing with all of these kind of like autoimmune diseases and body kind of issues that you had, did growing up in LA kind of make that worse? Did it make it better?
Well, I grew up in the Valley, in the outskirts of downtown LA. And so I did always feel like the odd man out. I was probably the one that was like the most fashionable in high school. I would design all my own clothes. I would be made fun of for it. But I wore it. I rocked it. It was just sort of how I, you know, expressed myself and showing up to school like that.
Did you go to a public high school?
Yes.
You did.
I went to a public high school. And I just never felt like I fit in. I dealt with, you know, being bullied. I was extremely shy. And that's where I think I love designing clothes. And that's where I really expressed myself.
When you went to college, what did you study? Because now you're a certified health coach, right?
Yes.
So now you obviously are like the person that everybody goes to. And just like looking at you, I just want to be like, what do I do? How do I make this pimple go away? But what did you study in school? Because now that you've gone into health, you were obviously, you know, focusing more in fashion in the beginning.
Yeah. So after I graduated high school, I waited probably about a year and a half. I was a young mom. I had my daughter at 19. And she was about 6 months old when I went to FITM, the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in downtown LA. It was always my dream to be in the fashion industry. So that's where I went to college for FITM. And then later on, after I left the fashion industry, I went to nutrition school.
Ah, okay. And so that's kind of when this journey started, right? After being in the fashion industry for so long.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific like things you thought of like that you could say about being in fashion? Like anything that made you really realize that it was such an unhealthy industry? Because I used to be in fashion too. And a lot of these young girls are looking at what they're seeing on social media and feeling like that's what they want. They want to be the influencer and the Instagrammer. But it's not really like that.
No, it's not. And the thing is there was a lot of years that I absolutely loved being in the fashion industry. I mean, obviously it's amazing to wear fun clothes. But working in it in the way that I was is, you know, you have a high, like constant high demand on you. People are always wanting more from you. It's never enough. They're coming at you from every angle and you just have like this anxiety all the time. Like at first I used to get on a high, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm doing so amazing. And it was all about my job. So like my life suffered. I just would ignore, you know, what it is that I needed. And there's no room for meditation or spirituality in that world. It's very hard to have balance in that world.
Do you think in LA in general, especially the city, that it's kind of hard to have balance? Like it seems like I still don't even know what balance is, but I'm learning every day, but it seems like you've really figured out that line between balance, but it hasn't been easy for you to like figure out what you need to do to kind of keep a regular, like healthy mind, right? And stay balanced.
Yeah. I mean, it took me getting ill and basically my body shutting down on me saying enough. My body decided before me. And I really realized I did always try to have, I always strived for balance, but I did not achieve it. And I mean, I don't think it's ever perfect. Some weeks I'm doing a good job with it. Other weeks I'm not. And when I'm not on those weeks, I take a time out. And so instead of beating myself up, I come from a place of self-love where, okay, I need a time out. Maybe I need some just downtime to kind of sort through what it is that is important to me to have balance.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's such good feedback and advice too, because so many people I think are always constantly thinking what's next, myself included. It's like, you never really feel like you should give yourself a break. It's all about like the hustle and continuing to strive for perfection. But let's take it back a little bit to when you were in college. So you went to FITM, which is right here in Los Angeles.
Yes.
And what was that experience like for you? I mean, a lot of people are constantly asking asking me or their parents about college. Is it necessary if you want to be an entrepreneur? Do you find that college is necessary?
I mean, I have a daughter, she's 21, and I think there's more opportunities if you go to college, and it's so much better just to get it over with while you're young. And by me having that FITM background, I was able to get hired within 2 weeks. Granted, it's a different world now. Fashion is a much harder world to make money in and to have more opportunities in. I think it's very important to go to college. Yeah, there's some people that say I made it in life, but that's, like winning the lottery or you never know. But if it's an option for you, I think absolutely the more education and the more that you can say that you have on your resume, the better for you.
Did you find that college, you kind of became more inspired? You got a clearer vision of what you wanted your life to be? Or did you find yourself a lot of times feeling more burnt out or more overwhelmed by not knowing?
No, I was on a high. I was doing my dream come true. Everyone told me as a young mom, I was 19 when I had my daughter, you're not going to make it in life. Forget about your dreams of being in the fashion industry. And it actually gave me more fire. And what I did with that when I was at FITM, it inspired me to make more clothes. And I remember being proud about this. I did FITM in a year and a half. I went all through summer school. And I never wore the same outfit. I was very proud of myself.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I would never be able to. That is like, that's something right there. I would not be able to do that.
I was really happy about that.
And so you were obviously just so freakishly passionate about
it. I was so passionate about it. I was absolutely, it was 100% my dream come true. And I worked so hard at it.
How did you balance then having a child while you were in school? I mean, how were you working and doing all this crazy stuff?
It was really hard actually. And I wanted to be at the time, a stylist for celebrities, which I was also interning. So I would leave my house at 5 a.m. My dad actually watched my daughter when I was at school during the day, and then her dad would come and get her. And it was hard to be away from her, you know, for a long days for most of the week, but I knew that I was going to give her a better life. And I would style at the end of the day with this Hollywood celebrity stylist. And I figured out real quickly, okay, that's not what I want to do. That's not for, you know, being a mom. It's a very crazy industry. And that's when I kind of was just figuring out what I wanted to do in the industry. So, you know, on my weekends, obviously I would be with my daughter as much as I could be. But it was difficult. It was never easy.
No, I can imagine that would be pretty difficult. Do you have any other advice for like young women out there who maybe are thinking about having a baby at, you know, 19 and 20? Because nowadays a lot of girls are having kids extremely young. Do you have any advice for them or what to do if you find out kind of you are pregnant at a young age, but you have, you know, huge dreams and whatnot?
I would say you can still go after your dreams. If there's a will, there's a way. And I'm self-made. I didn't come from money. I got loans to go to college, and I made it happen. I stayed, you know, with my ex, at the time, like he was my first boyfriend in high school. That's who I had my daughter with. And we actually broke up. And so I stayed with his parents while I went to school. And while it wasn't ideal, I did it for a year and a half because I thought, let's just get to college. Let's get it over with. And then right after I was able to move out on my own and I had a college degree and I made a great living.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's incredible that you say that too and are so honest about the whole self-made part, because a lot of people, and you guys, I talk about this all the time, it's really hard nowadays to find people who are truly self-made, especially in this industry now. It's a lot of who is your mom, who's your dad, or what's your Instagram following? And I mean, it's kind of really shallow, but you started this before Instagram was even a thing. So you truly, really are self-made. But I'm curious about what was the turning factor for you? I mean, obviously you were in the industry, you were doing so great, and then you started to have you got this autoimmune disease and you started to you were dealing with, you mentioned anxiety, maybe even some depression.
Yeah.
At what point did things go down?
I mean, I would say that I always loved the fashion industry. Well, at the beginning, I really loved it. Probably the first decade, I loved it. But I still struggled with, you know, self-image inside. I've dealt with low self-esteem my whole life. It's something I just started talking about. It was something that I always kept a secret because I just didn't want people to know and to judge me for it and to be like, oh, yeah, I see what you aren't so great. And so the fashion industry really, it just, you see more of your flaws. I never felt comfortable in my own skin. Probably the last decade in the fashion industry, I really just felt uninspired. I kept thinking, one day I'm going to leave the industry and I'm going to help inspire women in some way. I just knew at some point I would leave the industry. And then towards the end, that's when my body started to shut down and have autoimmune issues, have more anxiety. It was kind of a nightmare, to be quite honest. I would wake up in the morning and I would start crying. In the evening, I would cry. I mean, I'm actually a very positive person. And so I knew that something had to change.
That's got to be really intense, right? When you also have a daughter, and so you're dealing with all of these different situations. What were you doing to battle that?
Oh, yeah. No, I always say if you would have seen me back in the days, I would be running in high heels with lots and lots of bags in hand and a young daughter in tow. I was always running from fashion meetings to PTA meetings to trying to make it all happen, because the fashion world doesn't care about your family. So I would literally run out of my office at 5 p.m. to make it to Santa Monica by 6 p.m. to get her from school. And some days I would be 20 minutes late, and that's a dollar every minute. And so I would be charged. And I was a single mom for most of it. And I had to take out the trash, which kind of sucks.
Oh my God, but you are such an inspiration. I mean, learning all of how to balance so much at a time, right? I mean, especially for your daughter now, you've got to have some really fantastic advice for her, especially or all young people that you meet.
Yeah.
But in this kind of day and age of social media, now that you said that you're really interested in talking about mental health and whatnot, have you witnessed any trends, either positive or negative, for young people when it comes to Instagram, even your daughter? I mean, obviously, for building a business, Instagram's great, but there's kind of a lot of negativity that comes from it. I mean, if you were to see you on Instagram, you'd probably, or any of these celebrities, you'd think, oh my gosh, you're just so beautiful and so successful and whatnot, right?
Well, that's why I started becoming a little bit more honest. You know, I had people commenting, wow, your life looks so perfect. And you can't judge someone's Instagram by beautiful pictures. I love beautiful pictures. I wasn't trying to look like I had this perfect life. I just loved the pictures I was posting. And I was actually really nervous about getting on and doing videos. But that inspired me so much to get over myself. And since leaving my fashion career, I went after everything that scared me. And my motto has become get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I started doing videos talking about, you know, I am dealing with, you know, these are the things I've been dealing with, you know, such as anxiety and, you know, having low self-esteem. And, you know, a lot of girls come forth and they say, thank you so much for talking about this, because that's all stress is, having a lot of stress in your life. You're going to have issues like this. You know, this is where autoimmune disease come from. This is where cancer, you know, all these diseases stems from stress.
For those who don't know too, what is an autoimmune disease? Like, how does that differentiate from, like, I don't know, a headache or a migraine, whatever?
So an autoimmune disease, typically you feel tired no matter what. It could be inflammation in your body. Some of it can attack your brain. It depends. I mean, there's like hundreds of autoimmune diseases. There's as simple as, I know, like psoriasis, like most people know, like the dry skin. And when you stress out, it will come out, kind of a thing. And that's an autoimmune disease. But usually you have to get diagnosed from a doctor. But there's ways to heal it or to eliminate it. And reducing stress is a huge one. And there's different ways of doing that. But for sure, you have to get rid of the stress.
For teens who are listening and may be in college or high school and are balancing so much at once, extracurricular activities, school, trying to keep their parents happy, and they just feel so stressed, like they're about to get depressed or get, you know, continuing to be really anxious, what's your advice for them?
Well, actually, I deal with this with my daughter a lot because she's in college, and I always talk to her about this. And definitely meditation really helps. It's helped me greatly. You can look on YouTube for free. And there's this guy, Jason Stevenson, who I listen to at night. But you could even be as simple as breathing in and out, like deeply, 3 times. And I know this sounds so simple, and it is, but it's also so powerful. Breathing will change your life. And just stopping, breathe, and then you can learn how to react in a different way. If you can learn to react in a different way at a young age, because life is just going to get more stressful. And if you can react to things in a calmer way, then you're going to set yourself up for your life just being a little bit more relaxed, cool, calm, collective. Because listen, you're not going to die. You're not going to fall apart. It's just, you're always going to have a lot of things on your plate. So just stop, breathe, and just try to, you know, try to get into your body and ground yourself.
I love that, because I preach meditation all the time, and it's changed my life too. But I never, now that you're saying it, I never really thought of it in terms of parents maybe advising their children to sit at the dinner table with them and meditate. I mean, that's kind of genius, right?
Yeah.
And then you're creating like such a good, healthy bond between parents and whatnot. So now into kind of this food company that you started.
Yes.
So you're a licensed plant-based chef, right?
Yes.
And how did you get into that? I mean, you went from fashion to kind of health and wellness, and now you are a chef.
Yes.
How did this happen?
Well, being in the fashion industry, there was a part of me, I've always been an artist. Like I was saying earlier, I was designing clothes growing up. And when I became a young single mom, I I had to shove down the artisticness in myself because I thought being an artist, you're going to be poor. You know, I have to focus on business. And so I decided I want her to come back. I need to focus on, because that's who I've always been. I've always been artistic and creative. And so, and I have always loved cooking. So I really got into cooking healthy meals. And after nutrition school, it was a perfect follow-up I went to Matthew Kenny Culinary School in Venice Beach, California. And from there, it just like, I just expanded. My creativity came back. And it was just like, I felt so inspired. And during going to school there is where Beauty Bar Chocolate came from. I learned how to make legit chocolate. And in order to heal myself of all these autoimmune issues I was having, I ended up having candida, adrenal fatigue, which I can tell you about adrenal fatigue.
What is candida?
So candida is an overgrowth. It's in your stomach. Like all, I don't know if you've been hearing like a lot about it. A lot of gut health.
Gut health, yeah.
Yeah. And so everything starts from our gut, and candida can come from, you know, like signs are getting like yeast infections, getting rashes, being tired no matter what, having bloated stomach, you're craving sugar all the time. It's an overgrowth of yeast. I mean, you have to be diagnosed typically from a doctor, but you can Google it and read about it. But it was creating a lot of havoc in my body. And then I had adrenal fatigue, which happens when your adrenal system, when you're in that fight or flight mode all the time, when you're just like, go, 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 go. That's what I was talking about earlier. You want to stop and take a deep breath. Adrenal fatigue is the adrenal sits right on top of your kidneys, on each kidney. And its function is, it helps produce, like your sex hormones. It also produces cortisol hormones, and your cortisol is from that fight or flight state. So it really starts attacking your whole body. And then your hormones could be off. So it's just like you feel tired no matter what. And that's why girls are walking around drinking coffee nonstop, and it's actually making it worse. Sugar makes it worse. And sugar is really aging. So I eliminated sugar from my diet. And then I started adding adaptogens to my diet. And then I added collagen to my diet. So when I was in culinary school, I thought, why not make an amazing sugar-free chocolate that's good for you, because I couldn't find anything out there. And chocolate's really good for you.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because everyone who follows me, all of you guys know that I'm obsessed with chocolate. But I'm like, I used to be like, when I had my eating disorder, I wouldn't eat anything. And then I became like obsessed with, you know, got too involved with health and wellness and whatnot. And now I just feel like, yeah, I'm quote unquote what you would consider like a normal healthy eater. Yeah. But I love chocolate, but I will really only eat dark chocolate. Oh. And I think that people, yeah, think dark chocolate's so high in calories and whatnot. But like 1, 2, 3 squares even of dark chocolate is actually, yeah, really good for you. And people, yeah, don't believe it.
It's good fat. So being in the fashion industry, like I went through that. I went through counting my calories and having no fat in my diet. Another reason I became ill, I started bringing so much fat into my diet, good fats like avocado and, you know, coconut oil and just like healthy fats. And I started listening to my body. You can't listen to these trends out there. From being in the health and wellness world, it is the most confusing industry, because one day they say eat fruit, the next day they say don't.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the media too, but wait, you, yeah, said you got more ill from eating more fat, but you mean you got less ill, right? Like, oh, you got healthier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Yeah. No, I was thinking, I like, because I think fats are really good for you,
good,
right?
No, good fats. No, I became healthier, yeah, and I didn't gain any weight.
No, you don't.
Just so you know, I was getting, I used to deal with low blood sugar, like hypoglycemic all the time. And so I would be shaking, hungry all the time. And I definitely dealt with an eating disorder. I would just get used to being hungry, which is terrible. And honestly, like when you add good fats to your diet, you will feel, I used to think I was ADD. Your mind it feeds your brain. So you actually become more focused, more calm. You're less hungry because you're filling your body with nutrients that it needs. And cacao
is
butter,
so good for you. Yeah.
It's the type of calories you're eating. If you're eating calories from like something like cacao paste and butter, cacao is really, it's a superfood. You know, that's different from, you know, eating Doritos or something.
For sure.
Ice cream with a lot,
yeah,
of sugar.
And even if it's more calories, like say dark, yeah, chocolate versus Doritos. I mean, I'm somebody who really believes firmly in the ingredients, which I guess I think you would kind of live by too. But so how long were you in this kind of cooking school, this culinary school for?
So it was 2 months straight. It was 40 hours a week for 2 months straight. It was really intense, but amazing. And I just learned so much. I even learned how to make cheese from nuts. It was a plant-based school.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Why did you decide to go to plant-based school versus maybe say another culinary school?
I've always been, there was a while that I was vegan and I don't like to label myself now. Now I've brought in, you know, some fish and eggs in my diet to help my body heal. And I'm mainly plant-based. I just really love, Matthew Kinney. There was a few reasons. One, it was plant-based.
Which is the chef you were kind of training under, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then the other was that he taught this beautiful way to prepare foods. And with all these like edible flowers, if you see my pictures on Instagram, a lot of them will have like these edible flowers. It's more feminine and beautifully done. So people come from all over the world to learn how to plate.
Did you learn that too? I mean, if it was only 2 months though. So that's kind of a short period of time. I thought it would have been longer.
It was 40 hours a week though. I mean, which imagine is insane. How much you can learn.
Yeah. So when you went, what year was that when you ended up?
Last year.
Okay. So that was just last year. Wow. Oh, and then after you did that two month period, what happened? How did you go from then being this kind of like type A entrepreneur and now you've got this chocolate company, but what happened immediately after you left the school?
So Beauty Bar Chocolate, in order to graduate culinary school, you have to present a product and everyone tries it. That's where I showed my line, Beauty Bar Chocolate, and everyone loved it. And I left there. I actually went on a small vacation to kind of, you know, I was very exhausted to kind of just like you did. You got away last week. So that's what I did is I got away for about a week, came back. And I knew I didn't want to be a holistic health coach. I knew that.
Why not? I feel like that's something you would be really good at.
Well, honestly, like I would be. It just was giving me a lot of anxiety because I give a lot of myself to people and I know me. And I also know that sales was my background. And I knew I wanted to share a product with people that would help them, inspire them, and make them feel better and beautiful in their own skin. And so I just felt more passionate towards that. And it came up in my meditation, actually. People laugh all the time. I kept doing meditation, like, basically, what do I do? Am I going to become a health coach? Am I going to write a cookbook? Am I going to do this chocolate brand? And the chocolate just kept coming up for me. I just kept seeing it. And that's the great thing about meditation is you kind of get connected to your intuition. And so I said, okay, I guess I'm going down the Willy Wonka chocolate rabbit hole.
Many entrepreneurs find it difficult to figure out where to start, right?
Yes.
So I think that's the biggest thing that's not talked about is what happens in between the idea and actually executing it. So you had the idea, you wanted to start a really healthy chocolate brand, but now you've got this adorable, like when I saw it in the store, I was like, holy shit, it's too perfect.
Yeah.
So how did you execute it? I mean, what was the first step?
Okay. So when I decided, okay, I'm making the chocolate brand, it had to be beautiful, right? I got inspired off of Parisian soaps on my trip to Paris last year. I got inspired by all the beautiful boxes and I wanted it to be sort of my fashion background, like fashion meets wellness. And so I started finding vintage prints. It was kind of a nightmare, to be quite honest, to get the exact box. And it taught me a lot to patience, which is hard for me. Originally I was just printing on a beautiful Asian paper and I would wrap the chocolates, but I knew I wanted it in a box. So I had to find a box manufacturer. Then I went through three different artists. I finally found the most amazing artist. He does all these like famous, products in the beauty world. So he was able to execute it finally. I mean, it took like a good 4 months or so to get that going, my website, nothing, you know, I just wanted it all right then and there. So it's been teaching me a lot of patience. It's been really hard.
Yeah, when you're an entrepreneur, everything, oh my gosh, it all comes down to patience. And I think especially in this day and age in 2018, especially these young entrepreneurs, they want it right now. They want the fame right now, the money right now. But I mean, it can't happen overnight. But you didn't know besides your culinary school, I mean, you didn't know anything about making a chocolate box or like even how to put wrapping paper. I mean, the wrapping paper, you guys, specifically of this chocolate, it's just, it's so like quaint and just beautiful. And like the feeling of the box, I sound ridiculous, but I'm like a total chocolate addict. That also helps with my obsession. But I mean, how did you go about finding all this? Did you just Google it? Did you have a mentor?
No, I actually just started Googling box manufacturers and, okay, how can I wrap it? I would go into, you know, stores and say, hey, how can I wrap this? And then one person would have an idea. Oh, maybe you could wrap it in this, you know, this kind of a paper. And there were some days where I was in tears. I'm like, what did I get myself into? And then what I've put into my chocolate was those were brands that were tried and true. The adaptogens, I use sun potion.
What is that? Because I know Gwyneth Paltrow is like anybody who follows Goop, I follow it. Yeah. And sometimes, I don't know, is this stuff crazy? At Whole Foods, you see like the mushroom adaptogens you put in your coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, for people who are listening and think maybe this is like slightly crazy, that word.
It's true.
What do you say to them?
So adaptogens are a group of herbs that help your body adapt to stress. So everything I was talking about, how we're always on the go, for the young girls listening, you know, that are stressed out, you can try some adaptogens. It will help your body calm itself down. I happen to use rhodiola in my chocolates, which helps balance out hormones, gives you peaceful energy, which I like to call it. And there's, like you just said, there's the mushroom, there's adaptogenic mushrooms that you can do in place of coffee. In the evening, you can do them. There's reishi.
Are they like you eat them?
No. So there's actually a brand called Four Sigmatic.
Yeah, that's really great. I know that brand.
And
it's
they have
Whole
packets
Foods.
And you just put it in with, like, you can make a little latte in the evening or in place of your coffee in the afternoon. You can make that, you know, have a beauty bar chocolate square. And it just really, it's better to stay away from caffeine later in the day.
As I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now. But I didn't have coffee all day yesterday. So if that helps at all. Or on Sunday, actually. But so you guys know, I want to talk a little bit about actually the ingredients in this chocolate, which is, it's on the side, right?
It's all clean.
How about you? Some of the stuff I can't pronounce. So I'll have you pronounce it.
There's cacao butter and cacao paste, which I use. And the thing is with chocolate, you want to make sure that it's fair trade, even more so than organic, because all cacao is organic because it's usually coming from like South America. They're in trees. They don't use chemicals there. And fair trade, the chocolate world is actually just as crazy and gnarly as the diamond industry.
Really? Yeah. No, I wouldn't have known that because there's chocolate. I mean, chocolate's like a never-ending supply. Yeah.
So there's a lot of like child labor going on. There's a lot of unfair things going on in that world. So when you see fair trade, I mean, it might cost a little bit more money, but it's also better cacao. You know that it's coming from a great source. So I use fair trade cacao. I use monk fruit, which is the sweetener. And monk fruit does not bother your blood sugar at all. It's sort of like a stevia without the bitter taste. And I really like it. Rhodiola, which is the adaptogen. I added pearl, which is a collagen. So it makes your skin glow. It helps with, you know, getting rid of fine lines and it helps with gut health and just overall giving your skin a glow.
I got to ask, how did you come up with this recipe, right? Because you've got a bunch of random stuff in there that would almost, you would not think it would become chocolate. So how did this become chocolate?
So you make the chocolate and then I got my witch's brew going on and I sprinkle in my adaptogens and pearl collagen and it works. I mean, it's just adding, you know, it's better to have this in it than have, you know, a lot of chocolates out there have, you know, all the, you know, gums and lecithin and soy, and they have things you can't pronounce and sugars. And so they fill it with that. Well, I fill it with things that are going to help you give you, less stress in your body and glowing skin. I also add vanilla and Himalayan pink salt and that's it.
And it's so simple and it's also clean.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to come up with this recipe or decide to put the most important things in it?
I kept making it over again for a couple months and it was, again, it was a process. You know, the first ones, they all tasted good, but they just got better and better and better. And I'm about to start the process again. Doing a second flavor. So if you guys can let me know what kind of chocolate you like, what flavors.
I feel like lavender would be really good.
I love lavender.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And they're all going to be, you know, I'm thinking about doing like a chocolate with a mint essential oil and probiotic in it. Like they're all going to have things in it that's good for you that will help with stress and also good for your, you know, your skin because everyone wants glowing skin.
And collagen, it definitely makes an impact. I mean, I noticed that when I was taking it. And I have another favorite blogger called Paleo OMG. I don't know if you're familiar with her, Julie Bauer, and she swears by collagen.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, for listeners, whether they're younger or older, I think the only downside about the specific, like the health and wellness industry is it's expensive. Like as now I can afford to eat clean, good, nutritious food. But for example, my mom who still lives in like rural Eastern Connecticut, every time I go home and I'm like, why are you still buying these eggs that are so freaking sketchy, and she doesn't believe that it matters. But she also can't necessarily afford to eat fully organic or clean, so she'd rather just buy a bar of like 72% Ghirardelli chocolate versus like, you know, Lily's or Enjoy Life. So what's your advice for people who can't afford it?
Well, I mean, I say keep it simple. Stick to the whole foods as much as possible, such as, you know, just like clean, you know, cauliflower, carrots, you know, there's all, think of all the veggies, spinach, you know, and I share a lot of recipes on my Instagram. There are certain vegetables that you absolutely 100% want to try to buy organic, because you are going to be ingesting pesticides, which later on you are going to be paying for your health, right? So maybe, you know, and it's still relatively inexpensive. You can go to farmers markets, and you would find a lot, you know, even when you go on the outskirts of Whole Foods, I always say stay on the outskirts. It's a little bit cheaper. Stick to Whole Foods as much as possible. Read your labels. There's a lot of sugar in things, because sugar is what will age you faster than anything else.
And you have phenomenal skin.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, she doesn't eat sugar, but I think also balance is important too. Like,
absolutely.
Do you eat meat or no?
I eat fish. I eat fish and I eat eggs. I stopped eating meat actually when I do collagen, which is the bovine collagen is at times, but I just eat what I crave. And it's always different for some reason. And it's also blood type. My blood type, I'm a type A, which is like a huge veggie eater. So you have to also look at your background. Like, where'd you come from? Like, what is your history? Like, you know, do your, you know, family, do they eat a certain way? Cause some people do really well on meat.
That's how I am. Yeah.
And so I try full paleo. Like, I do really well on like lots of veggies. And then there's certain, you know, when I'm going to start my period, I have to have like a lot of like, you know, eggs and salmon. I love like Mediterranean food, lots of good fats. Honestly listen to what it is. It's intuition eating. Like, it's just intuitive. Your body knows what it needs.
So balance then, right? I mean, whenever you find, you know, you're really craving something, kind of what does that mean? Like, whenever I'm like desperately craving like peanut butter or chocolate.
Eat it, yeah.
But like, why is my body sometimes specifically craving like foods like that?
I mean, you'd probably just need energy. Sometimes you need more fat. If it was like something like peanut butter, you need more energy, you know, chocolate, exactly, probably more energy. Are you tired a lot?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I have weeks where I really like can't sleep. So then I get tired, but for the most part, no. I mean, I think maybe you'd say this too. I mean, and I talk about it a lot, like sticking to a specific schedule. Somebody asked me that earlier, how, when you're really busy, do you like stay sane? For me, it's the schedule. It's like, I have a pretty strict bedtime that I always go to bed. I always try and wake up at the same time. I always try and exercise at the same time. And I mean, that's crucial, right? Especially if you want to become an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. I always say that. I mean, if you can come up, you can do anything in your life. And I was actually just at an event last week speaking about this, you know, cause people are like, well, how do you do it? You know, I have a child. I'm like, well, I had a child. What I did is I would, you know, I would be doing push-ups while I was doing her spelling test with her. I would wake up at 5 a.m. in the morning to work out because that was important to me. There's ways to fit it in. It might not be fun at first, but then you can get it all in and you get used to it and you'll just feel better. Maybe you want to get up early in the morning just to write in your journal. You don't have to push yourself to work out if you don't want to. It's all about balance and really self-love, like checking in with yourself. Don't be mean to yourself. If you don't feel it, then don't do it.
Yeah. And learning too, as well, to just take a step back. Sometimes, I mean, obviously I don't have kids, but for people who have kids or even are in relationships and whatnot, it's like, you kind of want to do it all, but sometimes you really can't.
Sometimes you can't. And it's something I'm still learning, and to say no, you don't have to say yes to everything. And it's learning boundaries. And that's also going to be part of, you know, removing the stress out of your life. Like I always say, the best thing to do is write down a list, like five things. What is stressing you out? Write it down. Write down a list. What brings you joy? You know, and really try to work on those things that is giving you a lot of stress. Try to remove it from your life. If it is your job, okay, what else could you do? You know, like I'm not saying go quit your job tomorrow. Or what if it is school? What could you do? What could you do to remove that stress? I know you can't quit school. Look at the things that bring you joy. If you bring more joy, it's called crowding out. You don't need to remove all these things. You just bring it into your life and you crowd out all the bad stuff. Bring in joy into your life and you're going to feel a lot better.
As well as people too. I think the people you surround yourself with, especially if you're trying to take an entrepreneur kind of path, the people that you have are going to be by you on the side besides like when you were, you know, suffering in the fashion industry and now you've got this new company and like same for me in similar sense, those people. But somebody who was doing my, like I got a blowout earlier today and the girl said she was asking me about being an entrepreneur and I mentioned kind of being burnt out and I was really tired. And she was like, that's really what scares me about starting my blog is like, you know, I don't know about like getting burnt out or how to balance it all because she had two kids. So I'm curious, like I had advice for her, but what would you say to somebody like her? She's scared to start her entrepreneur kind of journey because she's scared about how to balance. But in my opinion, it's hard to, she's already jumping forward, right? The hardest part is starting. She hadn't really started yet.
Yeah. I mean, you first, obviously you have to have that passion. If it's something you believe in and just go for it. I mean, maybe you have to have your day job. And I've done that before where you're starting another business while you have your day job and you have to hustle
it. It's called the side hustle.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's what you want out of your life. For me, I want less people telling me what to do because I just want to do it on my own. I want to be able to have my own schedule. And not everybody can work that way, but you can do it if you want it. It's just, you just figure out ways around it and you do your side hustle till you can make it your full-time hustle. And the fear, like I said earlier, just go after what makes you uncomfortable and just go for it because life is really short. I mean, it's short, it's long, but it's short, right? And it's like, you're going to grow old one day. It's like, just go after the things that scare you.
And
why not?
Yeah. And you don't want to regret. I mean, a lot of people too, like say, you know, and I say, I would never want to regret, if I hadn't started, you know, that period of time, or even if you're kind of finding that it's like somebody's holding you back or you're in a, in a toxic relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what's kind of next for you? I mean, somebody would look at you and say you're incredibly successful. So what is your ultimate goal?
Well, I'm actually getting really excited. I have a lot of events coming up. Something that I did when I left the fashion industry is I was scared to do public speaking like I am now. And it's crazy because I would say Beauty Bar Chocolate wouldn't have been bored if I didn't go after what I wanted, right? And then with the speaking, I thought, I want to go out and I want to inspire others. So I went to Toastmasters, which by the way is incredible.
What is that?
Toastmasters is around the world.
Okay.
It's a club for speaking and you go in and any ages, you meet the most fascinating people because the number one fear in life is public speaking and it's most people's fear. And I didn't want to fear that because I had a lot to say and I had a lot that I wanted to share and it was really healing for me. So I'm going to be doing a lot more speaking engagements. A lot of these wellness events that I'm going to be part of, huge ones that are coming up. I see doing a lifestyle book with, you know, beauty tips, lifestyle tips, how to make, you know, sugar-free dessert taste amazing. And I'm also learning to just go with it too and not try to control it too much. But those are the things, trying to live in the moment while still planning my future. But those are the things that I see so far.
And I forgot to ask you earlier, in terms of like social media, I mean, you've created such a fantastic following for yourself on social media. But who do you fill your news feed with? Like for, especially I know a lot of young people battle like following people because they feel like they need to keep up with the trends and they see people like Kylie Jenner. And you mentioned, you know, this kind of ridiculous, in my opinion, I agree too, body type now of like a super tiny waist and huge hips and like a huge ass.
Yeah.
And it's so unhealthy and so unrealistic. So who's in your newsfeed?
You know what? I follow a lot because I'm like obsessed with looking at beautiful food pictures. I get inspired. There's a lot of girls that, or even men, like I follow a lot of food people, a lot of other nutrition coaches. I also follow just a lot of just girls that if I like their pictures or I like inspirational, that's actually why I love following you because you're so inspiring. And I love it when I'm looking through my newsfeed and it's a lot happier than. And that's the other thing is you can't compare yourself. I mean, we all do it and I start to do it and I self-doubt. You have to put the blinders up and just go, you know, we're all different. We all have something beautiful to give. You know, we're all so unique. We don't all want to be alike, right? But yeah, I like following inspiring people and beautiful pictures.
So you're obviously a little older than like a 16-year-old who might like be dealing with a lot of kind of emotions when they're on Instagram. But if you find yourself scrolling through Instagram and you're feeling really negative about yourself or you're feeling like you're really starting to get jealous of other people, what do you do?
Well, I do it myself. I mean, I'll be honest. I go on there. I'm like, this person has it better. Look at her. Look at this. And I put the phone down. I go, enough. This is so ridiculous. You know what? I don't even know this person and good for her, whatever it is. I mean, you don't know. And a lot of these pictures have been, some of them are fake, some of them aren't. Regardless, I'm me and I have enough to give. So I literally shut the phone off, and go do something else.
So I guess I jumped ahead there and thinking that you aren't just like between the ages of 16 and 21 to feel bad about the internet.
Yeah.
I mean, any age can be then, right?
And actually a lot of my friends feel the same way, because you think someone has it all. I don't have it all figured out. It's a process. I'm a work in progress. We always are. As long as you're just moving forward at all times, I mean, that's the best thing. You don't want to live stagnant. You want to be uncomfortable, you know, go forward. And again, don't feel bad about yourself. Or try not to. I mean, that's hard to do, I understand. But just walk away and do something that makes you happy.
That's so important, because happiness, I think everybody's still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to find out what that means.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, that's all that really matters. Because when you think about it, if you're trying to be an Instagrammer, an influencer, whatever the heck you want to be, one day Instagram might not be there. So that's why you have to think outside the box, which is what Candace has done incredibly well. Well, and I admire you so much for that.
Thank you. And I don't go, I just, my style, if you go to my home, it looks like my Instagram. People are always come over my home. They're like, everything is on point. Your brand, your home, your Instagram. It's just me. So just be you. Don't, if you're trying to do a business off of it, I will say one thing. Do what it is that you want and what you love that's authentic to you. And people will gravitate towards that. And you don't want to be anyone else, because people will smell it a mile away and you're not going to enjoy it. You're going to be miserable.
What is it they say? To be unapologetically you?
Yeah, unapologetically you.
Which you live by. And I think I do live by that.
Well,
yeah.
I'm kind of like, I kind of obsessed with your whole Friday thing.
Oh, thank you
what
so much.
What is it? It's Fearless Friday?
Yes.
And I was telling my girlfriends about this. I'm like, how cool is this? How cute is she? She just rocked her bathing suit, her sexy bathing suit at the pool. And I'm like, I want to do Fearless
Friday. Oh my gosh, you should. Oh, that would be awesome. No, that's really sweet. Yeah, I'm glad. I mean, I think the word fearless has, it was like, maybe 6, 7, 8 months. No, not even. It was maybe like 10 months ago where I was sitting in a meeting and somebody asked me something about kind of how do you describe yourself? And then I just was like throwing names around. Then I kind of was like, I don't hear the word fearless enough. And I feel like that word applies in such a like a spectrum of for people and whatnot. So I think that word, I would love to see you do a Fearless Friday.
Absolutely.
But I'm glad you like it.
No, I mean, I feel like, definitely. Just going after everything that scares you, it will be so uncomfortable. But guess what? Once you get through it and you get to the other side, you will be so proud of yourself. You'll have so much confidence. And I'm speaking out of just, this is what I've been through the last couple of years.
And you might fail, and that's okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's part of the process, is failing. I mean, and if you're not failing ever in your life, then you're doing something wrong.
And a lot of entrepreneurs, I think the most successful entrepreneurs talk about that too, that the failures are what kind of made them the most successful in the end. And you had such a career here in different industries, and now you found what you really love.
Oh yeah, trust me.
Not I that you failed. You failed in the other industries.
I failed a lot. But I mean, my first couple of years in the fashion industry, you know, there was times where, I mean, just... And they're laughable now. I mean, now I laugh at it. And even in, you know, starting off Beauty Bar Chocolate, I made mistakes. You know, it's all part of that. You can't know what to do perfectly. It's part of life.
I think we should swap Fearless Fridays, because I want to start a chocolate company. I just think that'd be so cool. Yeah. And you can take over the blogging thing.
Yeah, you can come and be a chocolatier and make my chocolates.
Where can we find your chocolates in stores or online?
Both. Okay, so you can go to beautybarchocolate.com. And I am selling to some stores in California, and I'll be selling more and more, but definitely you can get them from my retail site. And I'd love to offer a discount code for all of you guys.
Yeah. I don't know if you have one, or we can put, like,
I can
figure
one.
It out. Okay.
Yeah. So we could do like Alexa 20.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So use that code.
Yeah. And beautybarchocolate.com, and you can find all kinds of, I've got a video on there. I'm going to be having more recipes and things like that. So.
And, you know, I think honestly for you guys who are listening, just in general, in terms of people to follow on social media, I think Candace is the perfect example for moms or teens of somebody who's literally living what you preach. Because a lot of these people, I don't know if you agree or not, but I'm finding a lot of these people are preaching mental health or self-love.
Yeah.
And then you meet them in person or you see them somewhere and you're like, you're not
Absolutely.
Really preaching that. So that's become glamorized.
Yeah. And actually, I really, you know, it's true. I absolutely agree with you. And anyone can DM me. I also have a wholeandhappylife.com where I share recipes, teaching you how to make things, you know, more affordable, like whole foods, like I was telling you about earlier, like making cauliflower mac and cheese, like in place of the pasta, you do cauliflower and like making cheese from nuts, basically.
That sounds so good.
So,
I love cauliflower.
But anyone
mac and
DM
cheese.
me, and I talk to girls all the time that are dealing just being stressed out and having low energy. And I love getting messages. And
what are your social media channels too? We know your website.
Oh, okay. So I do have a YouTube, but I'm still, I actually just ordered a Diva ring light.
Oh, for the lighting. Yeah.
Honestly, like Beauty Bar Chocolate just took off so fast, but now I'm sort of getting my balance. And I want to do a lot of videos because I like doing videos more than writing. I feel like I get bored with writing and I feel like people watch more videos. I don't know. It's just me. But definitely I'll have more videos on my YouTube on A Whole and Happy Life. And I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay. And the username is A Whole and Happy Life?
That will be Beauty Bar Chocolate.
Okay. So yeah. You only have one Instagram then yet?
I have two Instagram, Beauty Bar Chocolate and A Whole and Happy Life.
That's a lot. Oh my God. Oh, two Instagrams.
It's a lot. And I do it all myself.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Time for an assistant. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Candace. I hope you guys loved that episode. Make sure to use the discount Alexa20 on the website so that you, if you want to buy any of this chocolate, and for the whole next week, you'll be seeing pictures of Candace as well as her beautiful chocolate. I'm excited to eat more of because I think it's great. And just remember at the end of the day, mental health along with really truly just believing in yourself is incredibly key, whether you need to take a step back or whether you need to take the first step to starting a company. Either way, any of those decisions is the right choice for you. So thank you guys for listening, and I will see you guys next week for episode 38 with some awesome news. Talk to you soon. Bye.